I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Before we get started, I just need to say a heartfelt and sincere thank you to all of my supporters on Patreon. Currently, there are about 320 of you, which is above and beyond what I even ever thought would happen for this podcast. And I'm so grateful to every single person who has pledged to support this endeavor. Like, you guys make my life complete, and I could not have been doing this without you. And what's really exciting is that when I get to 500 patrons, I will be doing a patron-only season of this podcast where I recap season one of Vanderpump Rules. And it's really exciting because on my old podcast, Pump Podcast, that didn't start until season three of Vanderpump Rules. So there's two seasons that I have yet to really weigh in on in a very real way. So your guys' support will help me make more content where we can talk about Vanderpump Rules and really just like dissect it. And this is my like form of therapy to deal with the show. So I can't thank you guys enough. If you're listening to this, or if you've listened to this podcast in the past and it's made you live, laugh, and love, consider becoming a patron. For as little as $1 an episode, you will have access to tons of bonus content, and you'll be supporting something that you love, and that'll make you feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. So if you want more info, you can check out www.patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And it is there that you will find everything you need in order to support your favorite podcast of all time, the Sexy Unique Podcast. And without further ado, let's get on with the show. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host,
like I'm feeling you.
Lara Marie like Shane Hall.
Yeah, everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go so in. Come a girl with a friend, yeah, we both win. Hotel chain, yeah.
I'm here with a very special guest who you may or may not recognize. I don't know.
I think they will.
His name is Ryan O'Connell. Mm-hmm. He's a friend of mine and co-host of our other podcast.
What's it called?
Babe.
Where can you get it?
babepodcast.com or on iTunes.
When are new episodes released?
Every Monday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So Ryan I had to re-record this intro because Ryan tried to steamroll me and just like take over the show, and he doesn't understand the podcast etiquette is that this is my podcast and he is my guest.
I'm on her turf.
Yeah, so you're...
It just gets so blurry because I'm at the same place we record our other podcasts. It just gets so murky. It's like, where does one podcast end and the other begin?
It is murky. And you said you were feeling like you're cheating on our podcast with this podcast.
I feel very Diane Lane and unfaithful.
Ryan right did not want to come on to Sup as a guest.
I did.
I've literally had to like beg him to be a guest on this. I was like, it will be good for A, the listeners, and B, our other podcast.
Yeah, it will. Like,
and
because
also,
we hope that the listeners of this podcast will go over and hear Babe, you know?
Yeah, but I also know that once I just get you started on talking, it's like, it'll open up the floodgates. And I know you do enjoy Vanderpump Rules to some extent.
Well, you know, it's funny because when it went on hiatus, I was kind of like, whatever. How long has it been gone for?
It's been gone forever. It's been gone since like April or May, I think.
But then watching it last night, it was like, oh my god, I'm obsessed with the show.
Yeah,
I am.
It truly
insane.
Is the best show
it's
on
the
television.
Best comedy on television.
It's the best comedy.
I don't laugh harder at any other show other than Will and Grace, which I write for.
I was interesting. Tell me less. I was after yeah. we watched last night, I was covered in sweat from laughing so
hard.
Oh,
I was like convulsing. I thought I was going to choke.
I cried last night.
There were so many like golden nuggets. Like it was just like you had to rewind constantly because you were always missing hilarious things because you were laughing over everything.
Yeah, it was
delicious.
I would venture to say that we're back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're back.
They came to play, and I really appreciate and respect all the work that they're doing.
They're
so
still,
far.
You know, the human versions of Applebee's. You know, they're like, they're still here being garbage cans, and they'll never not be garbage cans.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, and I think we really needed this like first episode to be great because I don't know if you listen, some listeners tuned in for our Jackson Brittany recaps.
Oh God.
But like
for
not
those, we lit a dip tea candle for you.
I know. And, but like that show, which I watched because it's my job to watch and talk about it. Was bad. It was just really bad.
It was a
bad.
Really
it was bad,
bad show. Well, I honestly think they only worked together.
As a group, yeah.
They only, like if you isolate one, it does not translate because they're not that interesting enough without the other one. They play off each other. Yeah. The boys especially.
Carrie O'Donnell called the cast the Rat King. Like it yeah. only works as a unit, like a Rat King.
I agree with that.
And Jackson Brittany was like the...
Doesn't
like,
work.
The example of that.
It's too dark. Like, there's a lot of... The lulls tend to leave the building if it's just Jackson Brittany.
Yeah.
It's like that... Because that relationship is so toxic and unhealthy. And without the comedic stylings of, oh, I don't know, someone like named Schwartz, like, to lighten to lighten the load a little bit, it just comes off as very heavy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, okay, let's just...
First, I want to talk about... The Orca video, because that happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I need
my
to go
God.
Into that before.
Okay. Yeah. We do need yeah. to talk about that because I didn't talk about that on this podcast. Yes.
Oh, you yet. Haven't?
No,
oh,
I haven't
oh my
talked
God.
About it.
Okay. Well, if you are not in the know, you have a nice Christmas gift coming to you. Basically, Sheena, Lala, and Ariana, our precious, precious, you should know better, Ariana, did a video for PETA. Bring awareness to, I guess, the inhumane practices of SeaWorld, a la Blackfish. And they did so by dressing up as slutty dolphins.
They painted their entire bodies in body paint, like black and white body paint, but just up to their jawline.
Yeah.
So they're wearing, like, they're totally naked with body paint that looks like a high turtleneck. Mm-hmm. And... It's just
oh it's jarring and it's so embarrassing. And you just like imagine like one of them getting into their Jetta after the shoot and just like wondering, like looking down at their like orca paint, their nude body, being like, wow, this
well,
is my
Lala
life.
Got
this...
into like a Land Rover.
Oh yeah,
or a Range
yeah.
Rover.
No, Lala.
Lala,
got,
it's not.
Lala
that...
got a helicopter.
Lala, it's
Lala
not
got a
that
helicopter.
Dark for because
no.
it's like.
But
Lala
Ariana
loves
and
it.
Sheena get into their Jettas or their Kias or whatever, and they look at their bodies, which are covered in orca paint. And they're like, wow, this is it. This is my life. Like, really, though, you know what I mean? Like, I'm literally here to advocate for, you know, bringing awareness to the goblin that is SeaWorld by just being naked and being painted like an orca.
Yeah, it was a PETA video. I'm just pulling it up so we can get just a little, like,
they get into their cars and they just keep driving. They just keep driving.
It truly is, like, it's art.
You got a fast car.
This, like, the video itself is like an artistic endeavor. It transcends space and time.
Clarity. It's almost like it could be on the comeback or something. I mean, it's insane. It means nothing. It's a meaningless awareness campaign that brings.
I'm Ariana.
I'm Lala.
And we're here with PETA.
The only thing it brings awareness to is that these
today
people are fools.
We're here with PETA shooting a campaign to release the orcas into Seaside Sanctuary.
Oh.
When I saw the documentary Blackfish, it literally changed my entire life.
Did you hear that? It literally changed her entire life.
I live for Blackfish changing
Lala's
life.
And I will not stop until any place like SeaWorld is completely shut down. Orcas have died.
She won't sleep.
At SeaWorld.
Sheena, her body paint and
I am Sheena.
Sheena's am body Sheena. Paint is like, it's like they're all painted black with like the white orca stripe down the bottom, but Sheena's hair is so dark that it just looks like she's like a Slender Man. She yeah. literally looks like Slender Sheena.
It is so
it's really bizarre.
Embarrassing. I mean, it's just really embarrassing.
Well, I mean, it's for a good cause, babe. You can't like
Laura,
totally shit on
embarrassing.
It.
Embarrassing. Like, if someone was like, oh, want to bring awareness to, like, Blackfish, I'd be like, cool, chic. They're like, you have to be naked, and we're going to paint you, like, a fucking orca whale. And I'd be like, no, absolutely not. And then I would run away screaming. No, I would not do that.
You'd strip down to your undies for a video that lives online.
I know, but that was bringing awareness to, like, unconventional body types. Such as moi.
So there's a line in the sand.
I would not fucking get painted as an orca. I would not get painted as an orca. And by the way, what does that even do? You think one fucking orca is going to get saved because they saw like Sheena's tits dressed up like black and white? Give me a break.
The head of SeaWorld like burst into the office.
They're like, you're right.
Staff-wide meeting. He's like, have you seen this video? The cast of Vanderpump Rules has spoken out. And what we're doing here to these animals is cruel.
Yeah, like Blackfish didn't move the needle at all. Blackfish did nothing. But then they see this video and they're like, oh my God, we have to change our ways. And that was enough. Sheena said it. It changed Lala's life. Like, literally, Blackfish, they're like, lol, who cares?
Lala literally was, like, deeply, darkly affected by the death of Tilikum. Like, I remember when Tilikum died. And
really?
The star Blackfish, and she was on Twitter. And
she melting down?
Yeah, truly, she was, like, very, very sad.
I mean, we all were sad. Tracks. Yeah, that tracks for Lala.
That death
echoed throughout the world. Well, Lala's sensitive. She has social anxiety. She's prone to alienating herself and going to her mom's house when she's feeling sad, when she feels threatened. Remember?
Yeah.
That's like her journey.
She is an orca.
She has social anxiety.
Yeah.
That's her whole platform too.
She also has like a Blackfish tattoo.
She does?
Yeah. Lala's truly delightful. About the cause. Sheena could not give less of a shit. Like,
no.
I'll bet Sheena's beauty products have like orca fat in them.
No. Sheena would like hawk guns if she could. Like, she wouldn't care. She literally was like, here, come get your rifle. Like, she doesn't care.
Hi, I'm Sheena.
Here's your gun.
Hi, I'm Sheena. And this is the NRA.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't care.
Hi, I'm Sheena. And have you heard of the Second Amendment? Because I stand by it.
Yeah. She doesn't give a shit.
I want Sheena. Sheena is a shameless self-promotion.
Sheena's selling Sheena.
And then I think Ariana does care about Blackfish, but I feel like her efforts would be better concentrated elsewhere.
Yeah, she should just create a vision board at home and see what... I think that would take her further, actually, than the actual campaign.
I'm like, maybe write a letter to someone or, like, call, a political person or, like, a lawyer or something.
I know, get those quills out and get to work.
I wonder how much they got paid. Do you get paid by PETA?
Oh, I'm sure they get paid, yeah.
Or do you just get, like, good publicity and you are naked and people see you be naked?
No, I'm sure they get paid a little bit.
You think so?
Yeah, sure.
But PETA, like, always has reality stars do it. It's not like Julianne Moore is doing a PETA ad, you know?
Yeah, but you still have to pay them. It's work. I don't know. Maybe they don't.
I feel like maybe they don't because it's, like... for the animals.
Well, if they didn't, they're smart. So
I have a lot of questions
about what
about just that ad and like how it came to be. I remember when they were shooting it, like seeing them all in orca body.
I know. Well, imagine like the brainstorm meeting for that. They're like, okay, so we're going to get them naked. Yes. Okay. I like everyone, where you're going. Bob, continue. Bob.
Everyone gets naked for PETA though.
Yeah, I know. But like they don't always get painted like orcas.
No. That orca was that like was a an new twist. Artistic twist.
That was a new brainstorm.
Yeah.
That came late at night. After many 10 hours of throwing papers against the wall and getting frustrated.
All right. Should we get in? Let's get into
All right,
the episode
let's get into it.
Because
okay.
there's a lot to talk about.
All right. Sure.
So yeah. We open up and we're like already in midst of the action.
Well, no,
the
they do a flash forward.
Well, yeah. But
which
that's...
is so like, okay, you're in it. When there's a flash forward in a reality show episode, you know you're in for one hell of a ride.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's actually the one other thing that is like a sign of that is the time clock on a reality show. Mm-hmm. Like when Bethany and them went to the Berkshires, they put a time clock on it. When that time clock gets on, you know
it's going to be good.
It's going to be real. So the flash forward and the time clock are two major indicators that it's going to be in for a doozy.
Yeah. That yeah. we're already like on the Vanderpump Rules roller coaster. Yeah. And then also when you hear like a producer's voice get involved off camera,
oh, right.
because they were like, Jax, just tell me the truth. Did you cheat on Britney?
Yeah.
And then no. it like cuts to
oh, sure.
2 days
prior. When they break that fourth wall, honey.
Yeah. So we knew that it, from it the get go that it was going to be really real.
Yeah, of course. Well, there's Lala's in the credits now. Has she been not in the credits before?
I don't know if she was in the credits last year.
I feel like the cast is getting bigger and bigger.
Well,
I feel like
the
there was
credits,
so many people.
The like... photo at the end of the credits gets bigger and bigger.
Well, did you notice that James's new boyfriend is behind him?
I was wondering who that was because I broke down the credits like on the last episode, on the bonus episode with Alan. And
he's
like
just looking at him longingly.
I was wondering who that was. And I'm so glad that.
And now you know.
Now
I
know.
Well, because we had intel. I think we shared this on the podcast.
So we had some intel from a source we can't mention that said that there was going to be like a gay storyline for James that was explored on
right.
the season of the show.
And I totally,
or like a bisexual storyline.
Yeah.
And I like am really here for that.
I wasn't shocked. It sounded like the natural progression of James as a person and as a character on a television show.
I will say that James is looking hotter than ever.
That is so weird, babe. He honestly does nothing for me. My penis like literally cries when he's on the screen. Like literally gets a tissue. It wipes tears away from
his
shaft.
He's not your type. He's not my type either, but I think I can say that he's looking really good.
He's unfuckable. The unfuckable James Kennedy. Unfuckable.
I have to disagree. Compared to like season two when we first saw him dive into the pool and we were
as
like,
Gollum.
Who is that
Who's
salamander?
Gollum. Yeah.
James has come a long way. And I think that his bisexuality just adds like a new dimension to himself.
He has a droopy eye. And I have a theory that that droopy eye is so embarrassed to be on that body that it tries to leave. It's like, get me out of here. I need a better host.
So after we like start in the midst of the action.
By the way, Madam Siam or whatever, which we've never heard of, but Vanderpump Rules, me and Laura have lived in LA forever. You've lived in LA for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And they're always
I've been here
featuring,
for almost 10 years now.
They're always featuring places that me and Laura have never heard of.
Like
before.
I could
The
not,
Guild?
The Guild
they
is
always
like,
go to the Guild.
Where is that?
I don't know where that is. It's on the corner of like trash and like
when, shoot me in the face.
Yeah, and like yeah, are we getting french fries? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they like go to the most like I've never heard of the Guild. I've never heard of Madam Siam's.
But to be fair, I guess they have to pick places that allow filming and only garbage places would allow filming.
Yeah. They want the publicity and like
yeah, cuz I guess I mean I would go to like the Guild. I would go to the Quiet Woman, which was on featured on Real Housewives of Orange County. I'm one of those people that would go.
You would go.
Richard, yeah.
Well, that so we just got to the bottom of why they do it.
I know, shit.
We flash backwards 2 days and like we open on everyone like pretending to work at Sir.
Oh, I love it.
Which is just like Sheena, like literally I think they all just go there to film like yeah. job role, like B-roll like job stuff and like walk around and ask people like how their margaritas are.
Hey, so you're going to get the chicken with the chicken pasta? Okay, cool. Oh, you want the margarita, strawberry, up? Okay, cool. Yeah, that's what it is.
She's like, how's your Pinot Grigio? Oh, great. Okay, cool.
Just checking in. You got everything good? You need anything? Cool. Great.
And like Lisa goes up to the tables, which I will tell you right now, I've been to restaurants where Lisa has also been. And like I've seen her at Pump and Sir. She never goes up to check on a table. Like that is all just for the camera.
That never happens. Yeah. No. Have you ever been when they've been filming?
Yeah, I was there once when they were filming.
Like you went to Sir and
I didn't go there to see them film, but I went there and they happened to be filming while we're there. Like a guy with a huge camera like buzzed by me.
They're basically like zoo animals put in a cage. Like, you know what I mean? That's what it feels like. They're like literally like caged zoo animals and people just go and look and it's just bizarre.
Oh God. My favorite was when Lisa like popped her head into the kitchen. She was like, hey guys, how's the filet mignon?
Oh, she did?
Yes,
oh, I missed that.
She did. And the cooks were like, great. Like, what else?
Literally like urinating on the filet mignon. Like, literally, they're like, oh, we found a new sauce for it. It's a balsamic reduction. And they're like literally pissing on it.
Like, what else are they going to tell her? Also, like, they're not going to be like, the filet mignon
is
sucks.
Not great. The filet mignon tastes like trash on the bottom of your foot. Like, absolutely not. The filet mignon is not good.
And Lisa maintains that Sir is flourishing and has matured.
Well, which, by the way, she says all this, like, isn't it amazing how my restaurant is still flourishing? Don't know why, but it's amazing. When it's like, the reality is it's flourishing because Vanderpump Rules, the reality show, is flourishing.
Yeah.
The two are tied together.
I'm just, like, so over how they're trying to keep it, like, separate.
Me
or whatever.
Too. The Hills ran into the same problem where it was getting to be too unreal, where it's like, Lauren was, like interning like for Kelly Catrone when she was really selling like $300 dresses called like the low at like Kohl's, you know what I mean? It was just not working anymore. And I feel like they need to kind of break that facade a little bit.
Yeah. I don't think that they're going to though because like of the TomTom stuff, which we'll get to in a second. But Brittany basically gets cornered by Sheena in the kitchen.
Non-consensual storytelling yet again. Yeah. Non-consensual storytelling by Katie, which she loves. She needs to sign a consent form. Like, there needs to be consent form whenever Katie talks.
No, not Katie. Brittany.
Oh, no, I know, but Katie and Brittany. Oh. Katie cornered Brittany.
No,
right?
Babe, Sheena cornered Brittany.
Oh, fuck. I get them so mixed up.
Honey.
Okay, fine. I knew it was someone deeply annoying. That's what I knew.
Okay, fair enough.
I knew it was someone deeply annoying. And by the way, Katie and Sheena both do non-consensual storytelling. They do that.
Yeah.
They tell people, they like talk, and everyone's like, ugh, come on. So, okay, so Sheena
corners.
So
Sheena corners Brittany as Brittany's like,
poor Brittany.
Poor Brittany.
She literally tries to like hide behind a meat rack so she can't find her, but
she's
work.
Like, oh, hey. And she was like, anyway, so I'm doing really, really great.
And she goes, I'm in a really good place. Which I love when people say, I'm in a really good place. Whenever someone says, I'm in a really good place, it just means they're truly crumbling. They're dying inside.
They're literally emotionally on the edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
Looking into the waves crashing below.
Right.
Like, and then there's a great like troll montage of Sheena telling everyone in her life how great she's doing and how good of a place she's in and how in love with Rob.
There's bitchy queen editors getting us again. Yeah. I love it. It's like literally 9 months earlier. I honestly feel butterflies when I see Shay again. I really do.
Not Shay.
No. Hello. What are you talking about? When she was talking to Lisa 9 months earlier and she goes, how are you doing? She goes, Sheena goes, honestly, with Shay, it's like butterflies.
Well, but this one was just like Sheena was going around to everyone because she's like deeply in love with Rob and she's just been making the rounds telling everyone how like deeply in love and like amazing her life is, which if you have to like broadcast it is a lie.
But that's her MO. It's always doth protest too much or doth gloat too much.
Yeah. Brittany like ends the conversation being like, I'm so glad things are going so well.
Like she's like, yeah, her knees are buckling.
Yeah.
She's about to collapse.
She like can't
from
take
boredom.
It anymore.
Yeah.
She's
developed a twitch.
Tom Sandoval looks kind of like old this season.
I think he looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But he looked like a member of My Chemical Romance last year. So it was kind of like, I'll take
what you can get.
I mean,
I miss his extensions. They lent him a very youthful spirit, I think, because this season he just looks like
a little
bit. I think
he just like dipped a strand of coke, like in coke last season and just like stuck. That was like his white streak.
I liked his like raver look. And now he's like becoming a serious businessman and maybe he's like stressed out from being a serious businessman.
Yeah. Well, speaking of new hairdos. Well,
okay. So Tom Sandoval and Tom Schwartz, it's revealed, have been approached by Lisa. Mm-hmm. I thought that what the whole deal was is she's like, I'm going to make you like part-time. I mean, I guess I don't know how anything works like in the restaurant biz, but like I thought that she was like, come on and like help me open this restaurant. But I didn't know that that deal meant come, you both pay me $100,000 to like open this restaurant with
it
me.
Is a,
and you each get a 10% share of the profits.
It is a true troll. I mean, if I were
Is that a troll? That oh, seems like a bad.
It's a troll because she's starting this bar using their likeness and their fame. That's TomTom is, people are going to TomTom to see Tom Schwartz
and Tom Sandoval.
They're the top attractions. It's not their yum, yum, yum. They have like good sliders. It's not like yum, yum, yum cocktails. No, it's so they can fucking see the Vanderpump Rules cast members. That's why they're going to go. So for her to start this business, it's basically like, hey guys, you have done really well for my businesses. So I decided to just, why not start another one?
Yeah.
And, like, and then, to make it seem like she's doing them a favor by including them on a bar that's based on them is insane. And then having them have to contribute $100,000. I mean, it's actually a true troll.
Like, so it's then does that move. Mean that the, I mean, it's all a power move, but does that mean that like the bar, like I'm curious to know the business details about the bar. Like, is the whole bar, does the whole thing cost $1 million to like create? And so that's,
I don't know, but like,
and like they to collectively own 20% of this bar?
I don't know, but it seems really weird that they have to buy into a bar that's named after them and all about them. It's bizarre to me.
Well, I guess she could call it something else if she didn't want to, if she didn't want to work with them.
She's not going to, because the only reason people are going to go to TomTom is because of Tom and Tom. I mean, mind blown. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
it seems like a troll because it seems like,
it seems like more indentured servitude.
Well, that's what I mean. So, okay. So like,
it seems like a cheap ploy to get them to like, now they're in her clutches and they can never go, because then the show will then become about like, it can stop following people working at Sir and then start to follow like TomTom and like get a whole new cast of like servers in there. And then that becomes like a spinoff or like a drama of its own.
Well,
but that's still all under her watchful eye.
Having worked for an abusive boss, that made me question my my input and my creativity every day. I honestly think they have some level of Stockholm syndrome with Lisa, because it's like they are responsible now for Sir's success, Pump's success, and now TomTom's success. It's them. It's like no one is like being like if Vanderpump Rules went off the air and they stopped working there, no one would be like, you know what I'm craving tonight? I'm craving the steak at Sir. Like no one's like, yum, 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 yum. Like no, that food is trash. And the only reason why it works is that it's turned into Disneyland for reality shows.
Yeah.
And people go to gawk at the celebrities that like that they've on this TV show. So it's like, they have more power than they think. I mean, really, I want to empower all of the cast. And, you know, I mean, it's like, they're fine. Like, Kristen hasn't worked at the restaurant in, like, 2 years, and she's doing just fine.
It just, like, rubbed me the wrong way. And then also,
yeah,
like,
it's rude. Yeah. It's like the one time I felt, in a weird way, protective of these bozos. I literally was like, oh, my God, they're, like, that's, like, kind of rude, and they're getting taken advantage of.
Well, because also I'm, like, I guess, like, my deepest hope for everyone on that show, like, coming from a place of empathy, is that they can, like, get their shit together and get out of there. You know
but,
what I mean?
But, Laura, why the show works is that they have no goals. Well, no, it's that they have, in their mind, they do have their shit together. They're living the A-list life. This life they're living right now is something they could not conjure beyond their wildest dreams. Like, they've made it. They're it. They're, like, they're flying high. And that's the brilliance of this show, I think, is that they think they're, like, you know, they think that they're champagne when really they're, like, Andre. You know what I mean? It's like, they're, like, Cook's Brute behind, like, a dumpster. You know what I mean? But, like, they think they're fucking Dom Perignon. And that's great. That's fabulous. Keep thinking that.
Yeah.
You know? Like, in their mind, I don't think they're ever thinking, like, oh, I really need to get my shit together. I think they think that they are living life exactly the way it should be. And they're, like, having the best time of their life.
Yeah.
I mean, because honestly, like, they've probably surpassed all their personal expectations. They're all, like, struggling whackers. Like, now they can just get paid to be themselves and not have to learn lines.
Yeah, that's, you know, true. Sheena also, like, comes up to Ariana and is talking about Tequila Katie's rage texting and, like, her falling out with Stassi and Katie.
So good.
And, like, how, or her falling out with Katie specifically, and how she hasn't talked to her in months since Katie rage texted her. So yes, we bullied you for the last year. You so pathetically wanted to be accepted by us that you forced yourself not to like Lala, which is
I love that they just, and also I loved the spelling error behind it. Like Sheena did a typo. Oh, she was like, reminded. Ugh.
I know. And then Katie.
Those details that keep me warm at night.
I know. I just like can't imagine. I cannot imagine texting someone like.
No.
So yes, Ryan, we bullied you for the last year.
They're like 35.
I know. They're in their mid-30s.
They're in their mid-30s. People have homes. People have families. And they're like sitting at home getting drunk in their weird apartments with carpet, like to rage texting someone for like being like, yeah, we bullied you. That's like, that is like 35. This is 35. It's like a Judd Apatow thing.
But that's so like bad. An LA 35.
No, it is. That's
because
real.
Because in LA, like you don't really start settling down that. Until you're like 40.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. But like, imagine like actively bullying someone with two of your friends.
I also love admitting it in a way that is like, yeah, we bullied you. Ha ha, you fell for it. Like, you fell in the trap. Like, it's just like, what?
So yes, we did bully you and you're fucking pathetic.
For actually going along with it. It's like, we bullied you and you're pathetic for actually like allowing to be bullied. It's
so
bizarre.
It's like almost like scripted, like Heather's style or something. Like it's straight up what a villain out of like a high school teen movie would
but not
say.
As clever because they're not smart.
Well, not as clever because Katie wrote it.
Yeah, I love when she uses big words. Someone screenshotted the tweets that she was like, she's like, your comeback is uncouth and pedestrian.
For as uncouth as you perceive me to be. Like, she literally just like fired up a thesaurus and then was
so
like, went to town.
No one talks that way.
Those tweets are iconic.
God, she's embarrassing.
That's when Katie took things to the next level.
She's so embarrassing. And her style continues. Dressed to depress. That's her motto.
I just like, I don't understand because I think that she looks really pretty this season. I do. No. Like facially and hairily speaking, I'm not mad at it. But that girl cannot get like a good outfit on to save her life.
I wonder if she like puts on a good outfit on at home and then the outfit just evaporates into dust. It's like literally like, no, we're not going to go on this.
If you like put a gun to Katie's head and you said, here's access to the Vogue closet.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kill you if you can put together any outfit you want, but it has to look chic.
There's only one outfit that is not good in this closet.
Yeah.
There's 200 outfits.
No,
they're all
just the Vogue closet. Everything is stylish. And you're like, okay, Katie, go. Like, if you look really bad at the end of this, I'm going to kill you. But like, I'm trying to set you up for success.
And also, there's just no way you can look bad. Yeah. There's no way. It's a win-win. She somehow.
If you gave her that opportunity, she would end up dying because she would find a way to find the most unflattering, like worst color of thing. And just like she'd ruin her own life.
Yeah.
It's kind of like amazing. And I wonder if she like at this point, I'm like, are you doing this on purpose?
Of course not.
But it's so consistent. Everything is so consistently unflattering and so consistently
bad.
But then sometimes it can turn into like art. Like sometimes it's like a form of self-expression.
She wore a really weird outfit when she went to visit Stassi. That was weird when she put together the AC.
That
was bizarre.
That jacket.
But it was like a
It was like a brown dress with a bra and then the jacket, which was like an acid. It was like a weird wash of denim on the jacket.
It was bone chilling.
From the chin up, I'm not. From like the neck up, I'm really not.
Her eyelashes are doing a weird story. Her eyelashes are like trying to get their own storyline. It's like not happening.
I mean, she just got to work on what's happening on the neck down in a major sartorial sense. Like she needs to like go on a makeover show.
I would love someone to make her over. She's the kind of person that like, she reminds me of me at like 19 in college being like, oh, I know. I'll just put like 80 trends on my body and like, that'll be great.
Yeah.
People will think I have style because they put 40 things on me.
It is like a try every single trend
try
at once.
Try every trend, but put them all together. It's like, you know, it's not chic.
I pray that someday Katie comes into her own and like gets a stylist or like something happens. It's really shock. It's growing. It's becoming shocking.
Yeah.
But that's also something I love, which is like now that they have the money to like dress themselves and like express themselves via fashion, you get to see like where their minds are truly at. And it's in a they're all shocking.
Stassi also wore a horrifying interview outfit.
That jumpsuit
with the only area being exposed was her stomach or like a peak of her stomach. It was very weird.
Yeah, I was not feeling that look either. Mm-hmm. I thought that she could have done a lot better than that. Oh, Sheena said that. So the reason Sheena and Katie are the reason Sheena and Katie are fighting is because Sheena basically said, like, she was like, I was comparing my friends to Katie's friends, and then it got back to Katie that I said she had no friends, which I meant it as a compliment, but she somehow got mad
at it. It's so weird. I told Katie, I was like, you have no friends, and she took it the wrong way. I honestly meant that as a compliment. I'm just so confused. It's just, like, another thing of, like, twisting my words. It's like, I'm so sick of my words being twisted. I said, you have no friends. What part of that is an insult? What part of that do you not understand?
I'm obsessed with Sheena being like, you have no friends. And then being like, I meant it as a compliment. And then Katie being like, yes, we bullied you for the last year. It's so like grade school. Like to tell someone they have no friends, to like, can you imagine me going up to you and being like, well, Ryan, it doesn't matter because you have no friends. Like,
oh my God, these people need to.
They're really lit.
They need to do some self-work. They do.
Sandoval's really worried that Lisa's gonna just do her own thing with Tom Toms, and he's like telling Ariana.
Oh, this scene. Well, hold on. Wait. Okay, we have to talk about Ariana. Wait. Well, you just totally blazed past Ariana.
What about her?
Her new hair.
Oh, her hair. New
look.
Yeah.
We talked about this.
Ariana has a whole new look. She's chopped her hair off into like, a very chic bob.
Oh, I'm sorry. I like love her hair, and I hate that, but it's true. She looks amazing. She looks amazing.
She looks incredible.
She looks incredible.
She looks gorgeous.
But I think that she's like taking a ride on the vein train in this new way. Like, I feel like she really just glammed herself the fuck up for the new season. And it's, you know, look, we don't have much to root for on this show. Like, there's not like, oh, like I'm team Stassi, like team no one, team get me the fuck out of here. But like with Ariana, you could see like a sliver of a person and be like, okay, like she said the word misogyny on TV. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, she said heteronormative too. Okay. And so, but now it's like, she's just kind of always preening. Oh, and she's like trying to make jokes, which hurt me more than it hurts her. You know, it's not good.
Yeah, she's definitely trying her comedy pants on, and
they don't fit. You know what I mean?
Which makes me sad because I want her to be really funny, but some of the jokes were just not that great.
I'll stay here. Oh, you go do that. I'll go stay back here. It's like, but I'll. Well, you go do that. I'll be mixing drinks.
But I hope that, like, what I'm hoping for Ariana this season is that she kind of finds the happy medium of, like, Joker tone and, like, and that she, like, is able to kind of massage it more organically into, like, her presentation. Because I'm here for her, like, her glow up. I like that she's, like,
she looks incredible.
She looks stunning. And I'm here for that 100%. But I agree that the jokes, she was like a little performative.
Remember, but I like your hair. Oh, thank you. I mean, what? Ha ha. Like, what? I was like, what?
Like, well, I don't know. I think that probably also maybe some of what has to do with like her reactions seeming like too jokey or forced is because a lot of the show is scripted now. Like,
I feel like the entire
Tom Tom's like storyline of like Lisa eavesdropping and like happening to hear Tom talking to Ariana. It's like, are you fucking kidding
me? You have a reality crew filming your every move. There's no overhearing, honey.
No.
There's no like, Lisa's there? Oh my God. Like, wah, wah.
Oh no, I think Lisa's sauce. And it's like, I don't like every single Tom Tom thing was like really boring for that reason. Cause I'm like, okay, like maybe the only interesting thing about it is that like perhaps they're getting swindled by Lisa and Ken. There she's just like sucking them dry for like all their money.
Right.
And like they'll be her like indentured servants for every like for ages, the rest of eternity. But like seeing it unfold is like it's fake drama.
Well, all of Lisa's involvement, historically, all of Lisa's involvement in this show has been scripted because there's no way to organically really put her in their put her in the show.
Yeah. There and especially if they don't work for her, like if they exactly. don't really work at Sir anymore, like she used to be the sounding board for them at Sir, but like now she's just not.
So they need to come up with these things and like come up with conflict and blah, blah, blah. When, I don't know. I get so weirdly like disrespected when like there's a scripted scene. I'm just like, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No.
I was taking like personal offense to like,
because you don't need it with these people. Because I would watch them do quite literally anything.
Yeah. Except like recite their lines.
Exactly. Because they're not good at it.
No, they're not. They don't sell it very well.
No, they're like, oh. And they're like, oh, and I was like, what? He's like, nothing. I'll tell you later. She's like, what? What? Oh, okay. Like, it's just like, honey.
The best too is when like Ariana's talking to Tom and she's like, but like, you know what you're doing. Like, you've been taking like research me, you've been like really researching and working hard. And it's like,
no, not even working. It was like, you've been taking research. And then he's like, yeah, research. Like, what? Like, wait, what? Like, it was like not a complete thought.
And then he was like, by research, he like went to Colorado and got high and like didn't learn anything and came back and was like,
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Well, it wasn't what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
He literally was like, I thought there'd be a way to put THC in the cocktails and it'd be legal, but it turns out there's like not a way. It's like, honey, just Google.
Yeah, Google it.
Google it, honey. Jesus.
My research trip. Maybe he's writing it off of his taxes, so that's why he mentioned it as a research trip.
I'm sure.
Stassi, I was glad that Stassi was like not a very, like a big force in this episode. Thank God.
Honey, use her as an added spice. I can't take too much.
Yeah, no, it's like, who actually cares?
The one thing I like about it, her, is that, like, I love like the alcoholism. Like, it's just like they are true alcoholics. I mean, they're always drinking middle of the day, and it's like they try to do it like in a cute way. Like, I know what, you'll fix my AC. They always come up with excuses.
Yeah,
like, how about you fix my AC and to celebrate we have margaritas, and it's like 2 p.m or maybe like late 9 a.m who knows, and it's like always
like isn't it cute?
She's like, we're gonna make fresh fruit, so it's healthy. And like meanwhile their liver's just like,
but I also
like they're turning green. Like,
I also love that she's like pretending to set up her AC, and then Katie gets there and she's like, you can do it now, slave, and like then just goes and makes herself a marg,
and then Katie does it mindless. She's like, okay, like she just does it.
Yeah,
that's so fucking weird.
I wonder if like the hierarchy has like the power struggle between everyone has evened out back to like season one, kind of, where Stassi sits at the top of the Kristen and Katie food chain.
But it's weird though, because I feel like Stassi and Katie, at least from this episode, it made it seem like they were on their own island a little bit.
Yeah, they did seem like weirdly aligned.
And that's not chic, because they only exist really if in numbers. And if there's only two of them, like, I'm sorry, like, it did not feel good for either of them to not be invited to Sheena's. That was, like, embarrassing for them.
Well, and they
also,
kind of knew it. That's a power move on Sheena's part, because
smart girl.
Once you stop inviting people to, like, your parties that are being filmed, they get less camera time.
Well, I agreed. Like, you weaponized that. Totally weaponized that. And you're like, well, it looks like you're not going to be involved in the premiere.
Yeah.
Literally, like, oh, like, and there's going to be a giant bombshell dropped at my birthday, and you're not going to be there. So have fun being on the cutting room floor. It's actually kind of genius.
It was genius. And I thought, too, I was like, Sheena's smart enough to know that, like, how to, like, hit him where it hurts.
But they would be smart to show up unannounced.
Oh, yeah.
And start drama, which
I mean, if they were, like, Kristen, they would do it. But, like, I don't know. I just feel like they are. I think that Stassi and Katie think of themselves as, like, really mature, like above the fray, like really classy, like girls. And so it's just funny to see them being left out, because I'm just like, snooze, fast forward. Like, they like go, oh, and the best too is like, Tom Schwartz is invited,
I know,
and he goes,
which is actually insane. We thought he wasn't going to go. He said he's going to go, but then went to the guild, and we were all like, oh, well, he actually got some sense knocked onto him and didn't go. It's actually like, it's so bizarre because Katie gets upset if, like, you know, Schwartz coughs the wrong way. She's like, are you cheating on me? And, like, he does this thing where he gets invited, and she doesn't even really come up with it. She doesn't care or something. Like, there's not any drama.
Yeah.
It's weird. I'm like, I would actually...
That's,
would
like, a big deal. Like, if I was dating someone, and then someone that was, like, had really pissed me off or was hurting me, or, like, if I got into a fight with a friend, and then that friend was like, you're not coming to my party, and invited my husband, I'd be like, you're not going either. We're going to stay home and, like, watch TV, or, like, we're going to go somewhere else.
And, but Katie then didn't have a meltdown about it. It was, like, so weird. I was like, I guess, I'm like, God, why is she not getting Tequila Katie about this?
Yeah.
Out of all the things.
Her anger is so misdirected.
It's so weird. She just short circuits, I guess, at interesting times.
Well, she wasn't like liquored up enough, so we'll maybe get to see like next episode how it all plays out.
All right.
Because also, like, Tom was like, well, I'm gonna go. He's like, I'm going to go. Like, I'll try. He's like, hopefully I won't come home blackout at like 2 a.m. or something like that. And it's like, what the hell are you talking? Like, please don't.
Yeah,
I know. If I was dating someone and they were like, oh, well, I'm going to go, but I just want to go say hi for like an hour and then I'll come home. That's one thing. But if I'm dating someone and they're like, I'm going to go out and I might come home hammered at like 3 a.m, I'd be like, fuck you.
I thought that was going to be a huge source of tension.
But do you think that maybe Katie's on her guard this season because she's aware of how horribly she came off last season?
No, I think that she knows that, but I think at the end of the day, she can't control her evilness. So,
but she was pretty under control this episode.
You know, it's so funny because I guess she is, if you like look, if you compare, but I find her to be so aggressively unlikable even when she's just standing there breathing that like I feel like she could still play it cool and I'd be like, you're a nightmare.
It's like now that the damage is done and like it's almost like she like Mission Impossible pulled a mask off and revealed her true personality last season. There's like,
well,
no,
her personality going back was always horrific, but I think like it's so weird, like she always was like a drip. She was always kind of like a drip with a permanent scowl on her face, but then like she found her voice and everyone was like, I liked you better when
they
you
were like, no turn voice down the volume.
Yeah, please help. That's scary.
Stassi's spray tan is like incredibly confusing.
She
to
looks
me
good, kind of. She
but
looks
her
good
spray tan is like, it's like orange splotchy, like all over her body. Even Tom said that when she came into their apartment. He was like, why are your legs so tan and the top of your body isn't?
They hang out with each other like how you'd hang out with a friend in high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they're inseparable. And then, you know, Stassi going on their honeymoon, but you know, you'll probably go on our honeymoon. So I can't.
I know. The honeymoon thing was amazing.
I actually, I'm like, I kind of get that.
Oh, yeah, I got that too. That didn't like, that doesn't weird me out.
No, it doesn't really weird me out either. TBH. No.
I'm like, honey, it probably made it a lot better because you leave those two like, oh God, get me out of here. Like, they'll kill each other on their.
Oh, totally.
Like, yeah. Beppe. Like neither of them will have fun. So at least Stassi's there to like make sure everyone has fun.
Yeah.
And that would be a fun thing to go on someone's honeymoon.
Calm
if
down.
It was your friend. If it was your best friend who got married to their soulmate. I want to know from our listeners, would you go on your best friend's honeymoon?
I know. I think what's probably really revealing that maybe it's not chic that we think it's not weird.
Yeah. Because like Jonathan was, your boyfriend was horrified by Stassi going on the
he
honeymoon.
He was. And I was like,
And I was like, what? We like, what's like, the whatever problem?
Yeah, I know. Well.
So I want to know, like, is it chic or bleak to go on your
please
best friend's
Yeah,
please let
us
know. Because I
don't
know.
We don't know.
We have no idea.
No.
No.
We need to be checked.
We might be confused.
Yeah.
And need a
we
correction.
Might need to, yeah. Be reset.
Okay, so then we finally get to meet James and Logan, my king
this
and my
scene
king
is everything to me.
Literally, James and Logan, they are living out loud, call me by your name.
Oh, and I think like because Raquel is just like a balloon.
Raquel
she's
did
not
have
person
one line.
She's a balloon with like, and then someone drew eyes and a smiley face on it. Like she's not real. So I think that they could be like jerking each other off like on the couch, like right in front of her, and she'd be like, anyways, how was your weekend? Like she wouldn't even notice. Like
yeah,
like she is such a true dumb dumb. Like I honestly feel like
Raquel's on another planet mentally. Yeah. Like she is like not of this earth. Yeah. She's like an alien.
She's not on planet. My boyfriend might be gay. That's for sure. I mean, she's
but like but, the eye, like the body language and like the
and
eye,
they were like tickling each other. They were like in the kitchen like lolling and like tickling each other.
They're making cookies and like feeding each other cookie dough.
No, it was not like gee.
And
like,
then Raquel got
here
there
and pretty crystal queer.
Yeah. And it was, killed Logan's boner.
Oh, well Logan, I'm like, did he take some acting lessons at like fucking Lee Strasberg or something? At all? Like he like literally she enters and he's like, anyways, I guess I'll go. Like I'm like, okay, honey, like turn down the mute. Like I'm like, you're chewing the scenery here a little bit. The I mean, eyes. I was here for it, but it was like it was so over the top. Like literally Raquel enters and he's just like, he like immediately soured like a potato and was just like, guess I'll go. And I was just like, oh my God, calm down, girl.
I'm living for Logan.
I know, me too.
Like, I nominate him for best supporting actor.
He definitely wants to get his 15 seconds of fame, for sure. Yeah.
I think he could do it.
And oh, I'm here for it.
So happy to see a gay person on this show. Thank God.
I know, because they're always gunning for screen time. Well, they're always in the background gunning for screen time.
Oh, there's that gay guy, Jesse.
I guess. There's always like some gay popping up, being like, anyways, here I am. Here's the drama.
But
you know?
Logan could be the one who finally breaks through
by fucking one of the cast members. That's the best way to do it.
That's the only way you get on the show.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And you fuck your way into it.
As we learned when Jack went to Miami and hung out with that guy with like who looked like
John.
Had like hockey puck face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad.
I know. That was like the closest we ever got to a gay storyline, but I'm here for Logan and James Pump Back Mountain.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
There was a really good like behind the scenes video on Bravo that was like, get to know James's bestie, Logan. And it was like, I expected their friendship. I was like, oh my God, like how is there? Like, I wonder what the history of their friendship is. And it was like, they've known each other for 3 years.
He's like, it works because, you know.
He's like, he met once when we were both at Pump. We were drunk.
My dear
friend. Started
friend.
Talking. My best friend.
Logan. It works because when we go out together, he goes for the guys and I go for the girls. And then I leave the girls and then we all go home and have an orgy.
I'm like, I kind of hope that Raquel enters a thruple with them. Like that one Blake Lively movie. Remember that?
What was Savages.
That Savages.
That was a good movie. I liked it.
You love that movie.
It was hot. And it was like all the gay guys were nude.
I'm sorry, gay guys.
All the guys were nude. Sorry. But like, weren't they brothers or something?
No.
It was twisted.
Were they cousins?
I don't know. No, they were just friends.
Friends.
But they didn't fuck each other. They just fucked Blake. But the whole thing was weird. I mean, it's always homoerotic when like, two
like
guys are fucking.
I feel like if it's two guys with one girl, like your penises
always
are
a
going.
Gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's like the best.
Yeah, of course. I don't understand.
Like,
you should always be having sex that's a little bit gay, like 2%.
Yeah.
Do you think she just doesn't remember Logan each time she meets him? She's like, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Raquel. She doesn't even see him.
She has blinders on.
She literally is like, he's like, this is my dear friend Logan. Hello. I've told you this so many times, Raquel. She's like, where? She's like, where am I? Am I still at the Malibu chili cook-off?
She entered, and James just picked her up and like twirled her around like 50 times and then like sat her on his lap like a little dolly.
She didn't even speak. She reminds me of that anorexic girl from Drop Dead Gorgeous who can barely talk and like she looks at Denise Richards and she's like, who are you? And then Denise Richards is like, oh, that's just a game we play. She says, who are you?
Yeah.
That's Raquel. Who are you? Who are you?
Raquel like said nothing but then looked stunning. And like there's one scene where she's like in the background while DJ James Kennedy is on the tracks like spinning at Sheena's birthday. And Raquel is just like dancing and getting her life. Like
she's probably
having the best night of her entire
tripping
existence.
Balls. Yeah.
Like Raquel's like not concerned with any drama. Raquel's just
she
concerned
doesn't care.
With expressing herself via the power of dance.
You'd have to have brain cells to care. She lives in a really blissed out world. It's nice probably where Raquel lives. I want to live there.
I know. I want to live there too.
That sounds pretty chic. It's like marshmallow clouds and like popsicles and like Ed Sheeran songs, you know?
So then we get to back to like Tom's drama. Ugh, and like snooze. We just get to have a lot of like Tom's concern of he's like, I need this place to be comfortable. I need it to be comfortability.
Nostalgia.
Familiarity.
Just words that don't exist.
He wants a really comfortable, like THC cocktail filled, like bean. They need like beanbag chairs,
which is not Vanderpump's brand at all.
No, I'm like, have you been to any Lisa Vanderpump restaurant? It's like gauche, over the top, like cheap ass decorations.
Like
it's like Pier One exploded.
You look at it cross-eyed, it starts breaking down, but it's like it looks good, quote unquote, from far. It's like a Monet. Her restaurants are a Monet.
Yeah, it's like styrofoam. Like pillars painted to look like marble. Like that's like the aesthetic of a Lisa Vanderpump restaurant.
Yeah.
So like,
true.
I don't know where in what world he thinks that they're going to create something that's like insanely just like new, conceptual, different from like Pump or Sir.
Yeah.
And it's like around the corner from them.
I know. It's weird. And then like Lisa's getting annoyed because he has input. I'm like, honey, he's spending $100,000 in this like fucking money pit.
Like for these people, $100,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah,
I mean, it is a lot of money, period. But like, especially comparatively speaking from Lisa Vanderpump to like Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval.
Oh, I mean, Lisa like coughs it up for breakfast. She's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite line was when Tom was like, Lisa's like describing the whole restaurant. And then Tom is like, but is it going to be comfortable?
I know. He's so earnest. That's why, like, that's why Tom Sandoval works as a character slash person. Like, he is so fucking earnest.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
It goes back to, like, and he cares so much, genuinely, about his friendships, about everything. And that's why it comes off so, you know, it comes back to the most perfect scene, which was, look at him, he's a battered wife. Also, I have to say something. Like, reality shows love people having serious conversations while wearing humiliating clothing.
Oh, it's the,
like,
best.
They love people dressed up in costumes looking like assholes having, like, deep, tearful confessions.
But that's when I knew this episode was gonna be good, was when I saw, like, that Sheena was having, like, this eyes wide shut, like, BDSM masquerade ball costume.
People are gonna look like fools.
Yeah, because, like, literally everyone's wasted in, like, a mask, so it's the best case scenario.
Totally.
Like, fighting about Jack's fucking faith. So Lisa ends that scene being like, right now I'm rethinking the whole thing and I'm going to pump.
But it's also like, there is no rethinking it, because you need this storyline this season. You can't do this without Tom Sandoval and Tom Schwartz. So it's like, forget it. That's why I'm kind of like, this. There's no stakes. They're bullshit stakes.
Yeah. I mean, like, they're like, you're going to do this restaurant because you already laid the groundwork for it at the end of last season. And, like,
this is your storyline this season.
Yeah, this is the storyline. So
this is what you're going to do this season.
I guess go to Pump and, like, I'll see you next episode. But, like, please.
When's the last time you went to Pump?
It's been a long time.
Was it with me? Was it for Carrie's birthday?
Maybe. No, I think insane. I went after that, maybe, because that was in July.
That night was insane. I remember, I mean, I love to drink, as you know. And there was a cocktail. I couldn't drink.
Which was
it,
like,
was their drinks are undrinkable. And, like, I'm a wine snob, so it's like, forget it. I can't even touch the wine. But, like, I thought for sure a cocktail, like, fuck that up.
That's the first rule of Pump, is don't order a cocktail.
They're undrinkable.
The first rule of Pump and Sir,
they're
undrinkable.
No, they're all, like, just sugar. There's no alcohol. Like, it's garbage.
I drank a whole pitcher of, like, whatever some cocktails of theirs were at brunch once. Like, an entire pitcher I split with someone else.
Yeah,
and
you have, like,
stone cold sober afterwards. I, like, went and drove.
She probably has, like, shots.
I, like, drove to the valley.
She probably mixes it with, like, Chateau Diana, which is, like, imitation alcohol. It's, like, 4%. It's, like, what they sell in New York after midnight.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing happening.
No, it's just watered down. It's, like, club soda and
it's
sugar
so
water.
Gross.
They're bad. But ordered that cocktail, I remember being like, Ryan, no.
But I was like, I ordered, like, a martini or something. It was so, like, it was
you
so,
ordered,
like
a pumptini or something.
Yeah, maybe I did, actually. I ordered, like, a pumptini.
You dug your own grave with that one.
It's true.
How
dare I expect something to be good at a restaurant?
So Brittany says, Jax has multiple personalities.
Oh, I know.
It's hard to know who he really is. And I'm like, girl, after being someone with 2 years and that's your opinion of them, it's time to get out
of
that relationship.
Well, that's the perfection of this show. It's like, these characters are drop such dark truth bombs with such casualness. It's impeccable. It is amazing. It's like, literally, you just said that you're... boyfriend has split personality disorder and you have no idea who he really is, and you're like, anyways, off to the dance.
It's like Jax and Brittany getting ready for Sheena's birthday party, and Brittany's like, well, it's almost like I don't know him. This entire time that we've been dating, he's been a mystery to me.
Anyways, shots.
And it's like there's like a really profound moment where it's just like, oh my god, like, get out.
Yeah,
but then of course nothing's gonna happen.
No. She's in the sunken place.
Tom's going, Katie's staying home, which I truly did think was going to lead to, like, a blow up.
I know.
But then nothing.
It's okay. The episode still managed to find.
Yeah. Schwartz is looking hot, I think.
Yeah, he always looks hot. He's so broken as a person. That's what I love about him. It's like, when you meet his triplets or whatever that, like, still live in their, like, weird bedroom.
They're like mole people.
Yeah. And so it's like, the fact that Tom Schwartz actually left, it's like he's made it, even though he's completely codependent and kind of like can't do anything without Katie. He's almost like an invalid. And he's just like, I don't know. It's
so for Tom Schwartz, like, this restaurant is probably just an investment opportunity. Like,
but
it's a way
no
to
way
just
he's gonna follow through. I don't know. It's like, can you
well actually... doesn't all he have to do is just give money to Lisa, and then he takes 10% of whatever the profits are.
Remember when they, like, were
like this is, like, for him, it's kind of probably a good gig because all you do is just like sit back. Like, I doubt that Lisa's like, Tom Schwartz, what do you think of like this business proposal?
And he's not going to have to work there because, as we know, he can't
do
work
it.
Because remember, like, they had him bartend for one time and he had a meltdown and had to leave after 10 minutes.
So he could show up and drink there probably for free.
He can do that.
And then give Lisa $100K. And then maybe, I don't know, like, how much money successful restaurants
make. You have to treat him with care. It's like, you have to, like, work within his limit. He's limited. He's limited as a person. He's very limited.
Oh, Jax now lives down the hall from Tom.
Oh, I know.
Jessica comes over. Sitcom.
Anyways.
Oh, God. everyone drags Sheena for having her favorite angle. And we get to see that, yeah. Like,
that was good.
Montage. I love sure. that.
Why yeah. not?
And also, sure. like...
Troll.
I love it. I live troll. For a good troll of yeah. Sheena.
She deserves to be trolled. She's like a walking troll.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we get to finally get to Sheena's apartment and we get to see what her life looks like post Shay.
Oh, that was delicious. I was like, give me more. I was obsessed.
Sheena's turned her master bedroom into her closet.
Yeah, so she sleeps
so she
in like
sleeps
a cubby
in
hole.
A guest bed. She sleeps in a guest bedroom and then stores all her clothes in the master bedroom.
Which is just amazing. I love that.
And
I
her
love...
apartment is decorated like a weird like grandmother's apartment.
Well, yeah, with pictures of herself.
It's all like it's really frilly and like carpeted, but then like a weird leather couch. And
she
like,
thinks it's super glam. Like I think that her house reminded me of Paris Hilton in terms of like how Paris Hilton would decorate, which is like really gaudy, really over the top, princessy vibes with selfies of you on the wall. And but she
like,
can't get it right because she's
like a Sears,
on a budget.
It's like Sears.
Yeah, it's Paris Hilton on a budget.
It's really...
On a way big budget, like a budget.
Yeah, a shoestring budget.
Yeah, because Paris Hilton has a lot of money and she still manages to look tacky and cheap, like in terms of her design aesthetic.
Yeah.
And so basically it's like, it's modeling yourself after an aesthetic that's going to look tacky and cheap no matter how much money you throw at it. But like when you don't have any money to throw at, it's going to look really bad.
Yeah. So there's like... They do this montage or like a flashback of Sheena's apartment and like Shay's. I turned Shay's weird little room into like my bedroom. And
wait,
it's like,
by the way, were they just not sleeping together? Did they have their own rooms?
I don't know. I was really confused. And then we see that she's taken down all the wedding photos and then just replaced them with photos of herself only.
I know. It's
which
incredible.
I'm
so unbranded.
On like her foam board.
I kind of love how shamelessly narcissistic she is. I kind of love it.
I love it.
If you're gonna go there, just put pictures of you. I love it. Like commit.
She gives good
commit to it.
Like she gives good reality stardom, like just self-obsessed, like always trying to look perfect and like project like everything's perfect and fine, even though you know that she's like dead on the inside. And that to me is like
so
it perfectly encapsulates like reality starlet. Like I think that Sheena is a monster, but I can't help but like be engaged by her. And like,
yeah, because it's so there's nothing there. There's truly she's like a haunted house.
She's soulless.
Yeah.
And I think we finally get to meet Rob's Valletta, who I think like I get the impression that he is not as into Sheena as she is into him.
No.
Like
yeah.
The body language is off. I don't know, like, I guess he might have wanted to be on this show because it's probably good for his, like, business or something like that.
What does he do? Is he a model?
You know, I think he's involved with Diff Eyewear somehow.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But, like, sure. So it would behoove him to get on this show where literally every single person has, like, a deal hawking that, like, shitty eyewear.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, confusing, but I'm really excited to see, like, there, like, I love that Sheena is trying to just be, like, I love her narrative of like when, cause she says like, she's like, when she first starts talking about Rob, she's like, well, you know, Rob and I were together like on and off for a long time. And then I was dating Rob originally, but then I took a 6-year break with Shay. And then now Rob and I are back together.
I love that,
and I'm like,
I love that Lisa called her out for that.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't a 6-year break. You fell in love with someone you married then, like, go fuck yourself. I actually like that she did that because it was like, she immediately just tries to erase Shay, like
well,
as if he didn't
Sheena's
exist.
Sheena's just delusional. Like,
yeah, she's delusional.
She has no, like, she has no ability to, like, emotionally self-care. So, like, in her mind, she rationalizes, I'm sure, that entire Shay experience by being like, I never really felt like it was for me. And like, it was just a break. Yeah, and like, now I'm with the one I'm really with and I love him so much and I'm in love and like, everything's great and perfect. Right. And it's like, it's amazing to watch someone like that because you're just like, oh my God, like you're like, I can see that you're melting down, but you can't. And it's just like, yeah, it's the ultimate like.
It's like check-in time at the reality hotel, honey. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, but I love her trying to like rewrite the Shay narrative as though like she knew he was wrong for her the entire time. I'm like, bitch, you wanted to get married worse than anyone else on the show. Like you wanted it bad and you were in love with this person.
I know.
And like, I'm sorry it didn't work out. It's sad. But also like, just acknowledge that. Speaking of Sheena, an amazing moment that I caught on my second viewing of the episode, which mm-hmm. was she called, she was like, I'm just waiting to get my divorce certificate and then I can move on with my life.
It's amazing.
I live for her divorce certificate.
I love it. Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, there's not one person on the show that I'm drawn to because I think they're all kind of on the same level of despicable, but you know, I have my favorite moment of this episode, but I'll tell you that.
We'll get to it. Yeah. So my favorite moment of this episode and one that we maybe rewound and watched probably five times is when Sheena's getting ready to go to her birthday party. And okay, despite how far they've come, like we know that they have money now, like Tom and Tom are investing like $100,000. Like people have money.
Right.
But like, they like cannot glow up. Like there's just no glow up. Like Sheena is
doing her own makeup unveiling for her birthday.
Yeah, like, or not even that, but just she's unveiling like how she redid her apartment. She has all these clothes and blah blah blah, and then she sits on the floor to do her makeup.
I know.
I don't understand. Like, I know. The girls
I'm
in the
hypnotized
show are
by
obsessed.
Watching girls do their makeup though, like that way. That reminds me of high school. All
yeah,
my girlfriends,
it's very like a high school
sitting
thing.
On the floor doing their makeup in the mirror in the closet mirror. It's like I kind of loved it. It was a throwback for me.
You like a floor makeup?
I do. It just because, like I said, I grew up with it.
So, I just but I don't understand
why,
like,
they're doing it for yeah,
like why they're doing it in their mid-30s, like why don't
why
have,
are they
like,
doing any of the things they're doing in their mid-30s? Honey, why start here? Why is this the line the sand for you? You're like, oh, floor makeup.
Just
weird.
Floor makeup really sick. Like I just think back to like when Kristen and James lived together and she just sat on the floor like curling her hair and like doing her makeup. Like,
I loved it. It feels so real to me.
It doesn't,
I like it.
It just feels so like, it feels so immature to me. Like it's a true sign.
Again,
of, like,
I love
immaturity.
That this is like when you're triggered by their immaturity is when they're doing their
I'm
makeup.
I'm trying to hold you to a higher standard.
Exactly.
Like,
I mean, honey.
But I am. Like, and it just shocks me because I think, I just keep thinking that there's going to be one day where they like, it clicks. Like,
no, because like them doing their makeup on the floor, like that's where they're comfortable, like emotionally. Like they don't want that. Like, again, they already are living the high life. Like, this is who they are. This is like their DNA. Their DNA is hair, floor, makeup.
It's just like, so it still never doesn't shock me.
But that's why they're great. The floor glam. I think you would like them less if they weren't doing their fucking hair on the goddamn floor.
No, I love it.
This is why you like them.
But I also am concerned.
Well, talk to the judge.
Let it be known. Okay, so Sheena's doing her makeup on the floor and Rob's laying on the bed and he asks her who all is coming to the party tonight. And then Sheena says,
I've pretty much invited the whole crew, minus Katie and Stassi.
That's, by the way, that's who Sheena really is. That's her real voice. Her vocal fry, like, celebutante voice is fake. Like, if you called her, like, in the morning, she'd be like, hello? And you'd be like, Sheena? She'd be like, oh, my God, hey, how are you? Oh, my God.
I just love who else coming. I pretty much invited the whole crew. It's like Don Corleone.
And by the way, he is laughing at her.
He's laughing at her.
He's laughing at her.
I pretty much invited the whole crew. It's amazing.
Really bad. Yeah.
I need to hear it one more time.
Okay.
Who's all coming tonight?
I've pretty much invited the whole crew, minus
he's laughing.
Katie and Stassi.
I pretty much invited the whole crew.
How did that happen?
I don't
understand.
Know, but it's like,
hello. It's like, oh, hey, honey. Oh, my God. Hello.
I live for Sheena.
I pretty much invited the whole crew.
It's like the devil inside.
Yeah, that's her devil. That's her devil. That's her true self.
I pretty much invited the whole crew.
That's her soul.
Yeah.
She's like, oops, my soul peeks out sometimes.
Trying to break free.
She's like, oops, my soul's speaking up again.
I pretty much invited the whole crew.
It's bad.
But wait.
What?
Oh, Lala wasn't at the party, huh?
She's not in this episode.
I know. I was sad about that because I miss my queen, Lala.
I think they want to give her a real entrance, which I appreciate and I respect.
Yeah. Well, I want to bring her back in like a dramatic form. I think
this episode was too jam-packed.
Yeah, that's
Kristen
true.
Kristen didn't come.
I did
Kristen
not.
Was barely in the episode.
I did not appreciate the lack of Kristen in this episode. I know. Whatsoever.
I don't know if they've quite figured out how to utilize her because I think that she has a boyfriend now and she's kind of stubble. Which is, like, not great TV. I mean, stubble for Kristen.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Kristen seemingly, like, I would go out on a limb and say that she kind of has her shit together.
For her, yeah.
For her. I mean, there's always going to be shades of psychosis.
I mean, she's always like, Kristen, but, like, if she's in a good relationship, she probably feels angered and less insane.
Yeah, and, like, so she's not going to be, like, going out and, like, fucking a ton of people. No. Like, she's in, like, a pretty chill relationship, so... What's gonna happen?
Yeah,
she had one line in this episode.
She did.
She had like one moment where she just said
she Kristened out because she was like, "Fuck you, Jax." Like, "Fuck you."
But also, I think that Kristen was like aware. Like, I could see her in the background of a ton of shots at the party, and I think she was like really trying to like get in there.
She needed to get one in.
She needed, but she needs to work harder.
She does, and I think knowing her that she will.
Let's hope.
I think she will.
Sheena's password to her birthday party is 420.
Oh, yeah. I love it. She's such a blazer.
She loves to blaze.
I love that she blazes. She's just a girl from Azusa who loves to blaze.
She loves to just, like, toke it up.
I know. I love it. It kind of tracks, maybe.
I think it's cute if true. I wonder how much weed Sheena smokes.
I bet she smokes. Wasn't there this tabloid item that was, like, she smokes from her neighbors complaining that she smokes so much pot? And, like,
oh,
that?
Yeah.
And that their whole, like...
That they were going to, like, get kicked out of their apartment because she smokes so much weed.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. It's like, because she is so flat, her affect is so flat, that her smoking a ton of pot does track for me, but...
Is Sheena Blaze 24/7?
Maybe. Honestly, I hope for her sake that she is, and that's not her real personality.
Maybe that's like
the
whole... Like,
if this is Sheena sober, I'm a little scared for her. If she's stoned, I'm like, okay, I understand it.
I want to know everything about Sheena's, like, pot-smoking history. Like, who she blazes with,
well,
what
Shay
she likes
and
to
her
smoke.
Were just up in smoke. They were like Cheech and Chong.
They, like, I'm sorry, that you don't get a couch with cup holders built into it if you're not blazing all the time.
They were blazing all the time. All the time.
So we get to finally the... like crux of this episode, which is her eyes wide shut, like satanic ritual party
at a weird trash Hollywood hotspot
at Madame Siam, who I've never heard of that place before.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so it's a bar with like an outdoor smoking area, yet everyone's dressed in like black tie outfits.
It's very confusing.
It's very confusing, but also perfectly Vanderpump.
Yeah. Perfectly confusing.
Yeah, perfectly confusing on a multitude of levels.
Of course, yeah.
Fucking Sheena continues her Everything is Amazing tour. And
so wait, so Lisa and Sheena have an interaction. Oh yeah, this is when
Lisa's... So Lisa's like, talking to Sheena, and Sheena is kind of babying out in this moment. She's like leaning... She's been like dating Rob Svoleta for like 3 or 4 months at this point, and she's like has her head just like draped on his shoulder and is like hugging him while she's talking to Lisa, and she's like, I'm so happy, like this is it. Like this is it for me. Like I'm just like, I've never been happier in my life. Like this is the man for me.
It's like I've never dated anyone else ever.
I know, and it's just like, you're a psycho for doing this.
Yeah.
Like keep it in your pants for a little bit. Like
I agree.
She's just giving it up too much too fast.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just in love with being...
She's in love with love.
But not even really, because she doesn't really care about other people but herself. She's in love with people being in love with her.
I don't think that Rob Svoleta is in love with her.
You call him Rob Svoleta?
Yeah, because that's his Instagram name.
Oh, well. All right, so...
Okay, so we're at the party. James is, like, on the decks. Kristen, we finally see her. Sheena's telling everyone how amazing her life is.
Right.
And Madame Siam is popping off. No one's ever heard of it except for this crowd.
And then we see Faith.
And then we see Faith. And then the bomb is dropped when Faith tells James that she and Jax fucked.
By the way, Faith knows exactly what she's doing. She knows, Faith knows exactly she knows what she's doing. Premiere.
Yeah.
And she knows that this will get her in.
Yeah. Which, I'm sorry, but this is, if you're on a reality show like Vanderpump Rules, like, this is what you signed up for and this is the world you're playing in.
Yeah. Also, Jax, like, what do you expect? You like, the thing with him that's so mind-blowing is, like, he could just fuck, like, a rando somewhere. He could drive to, like, Tustin and just, like, fucking have sex with a girl and then turn around and go home and, like, go night-night to Britney, you know?
But I think
he chooses to fuck, like, a fourth-tier cast member.
He likes to get caught.
He does, because he's so sloppy. Like, it's so insane.
It's like a serial killer. Like, serial killers like to get caught. So this
I know.
But Jax, like, gets off on the fact that he could get caught for it.
He gets off also on hurting people.
Yeah.
Like, in a real way.
Yeah. But not only do we find out that Jax and Faith had sex, but Faith tells the story to James.
No, listen. It's stories like these that, to me, make Vanderpump Rules the best show on television. These personal flourishes. When Faith retells the story of how they hooked up, it is so Vanderpump Rulesy. It's insane. It's bleak. It's like everything is just grazed in shit. Like, everything they do is like there's a stink on it because their lives are so dark. Like, and it just, you can't. So, okay, you want to say what she said?
Faith said that she was caretaking for a 95-year-old woman.
Hospice.
Faith was doing hospice care. And Jax had slid into her Twitter DMs and was saying how badly he wanted to fuck. So she told him to come over to this woman's house where she was because she thought since the woman was there that nothing would happen.
Wouldn't fuck. Yeah.
But then they did fuck.
But it was unclear. Was the woman in the room?
I think the woman was in, like, the next room.
I don't know. Faith, she said she, like, did a reenaction where she was like, and the woman, like, the lady was like,
sleep. And Jax was like, is that her sleep? And I was like, yeah. But I don't know if, like, the woman's, like, on one of those weird hospital beds, like, hooked up to IVs and a heart monitor, just, like, passed out with a morphine drip, or if she's, like,
I have this
in
theory
the
that she was in the bedroom with him. She saw them have fuck and it killed her. And literally, it was like, well, the corpse is gone. And then Jax looks over the dead body and goes, she just got Jaxed.
But also, like, I have a lot of questions. One being, like, who is the family of this woman? Like,
I think
does this woman have any living relatives? Or, like, who is this woman? Did she hire Faith to watch her?
I think
her?
Faith needed some money. As you know, I think, like, being a fourth-tier cast member on Vanderpump Rules, like, you only get paid
Ain't
in Instagram
gonna pay
followers.
The bills.
Yeah, you only get paid in Instagram followers and an invite to OK Magazine. And she probably was, you know, at the Galleria one day and saw an invite to a personal ad for hospice care and was like, I can do that. Like, and then
she's like, sit there and get fucked while this person dies? Yeah.
And she, I mean, it is so, so twisted.
She said that he was sucking on her toes and like...
As this dying woman is next door. I mean, it's like...
It's really crazy. And I'm just...
It's
I just,
really... But it's so Vanderpump. It's
but
like,
I'm like, who hired... Like, did Faith go through an agency? Like, she could get in trouble for that, right? Like, that's like...
Yes.
Elder,
no,
that's elderly abuse.
But it's so... Like, Vanderpump... It just can't be a simple story of Jax and Faith fucked. It's like Faith is taking care of an elderly dying woman. And they're going to... I mean, it's like... Of course, this is the Vanderpump Rules spin. And this is why this show is my fucking life. Because it's things like that where I'm like, this is so bleak and insane. Their lives are so tragic. I mean, it's like, it's bad. And it's, but it's also hilarious because none of them have any morals or like any kind of awareness. So it's like, Faith was just like, yeah, I guess we'll fuck while this 95-year-old is like literally on her last breath.
I like her just even being like, it's late at night and she's watching to be like to any guy that you're trying to fuck. If you're like watching after like an old 95-year-old,
there's
old
no
woman,
shame though.
If you're like, okay, yeah, come over and we'll just talk. Like even that is like, what the fuck? Like, can you wait until you get off work? Like, why are you?
I know.
Like, what is this situation? Does she
you know
live
what
with this lady?
They don't possess shame. Like there's no shame. Which is incredible.
Yeah.
And I guess they're impatient. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I also don't know what it's like, what she thought they were going to do.
Faith, I think, was using this woman as a chastity belt. So, like, they wouldn't fuck.
Yeah.
But then, of course, they just ended up fucking. And then he fucked her without a condom.
They
I guess.
Had unprotected sex, which and is then also he insane. Just came inside her, and then she was like, I haven't gotten my period. So she is like the cliffhanger, well, which I don't believe.
No, I don't believe
I think that that's an added, I mean,
that's
like,
an exclamation point. That's yeah. not a period. Like, she got her exclamation point.
No, yeah. No. But, like, I don't think that, I think that that's fake. And people, there's now, like, it's a, all these people are like wondering online, like, is it fake? Like, is this a fake storyline?
Oh, I think they actually fucked. I think that's right. Because again, you couldn't script that story. Like, they're like in retelling it, like, there's no 95-year-old dying woman next door. That happened.
But like, to
you
come
can't make
out,
that up.
To come out of the woodwork, like, if let's say, put, let's say if she and Jax like didn't have sex at all and she's just making this up, like, mm-hmm. that's like, that's too crazy to make up.
No, no, you like, would not make
don't
that up.
Say, like, you don't go through all the hoops and whatever to say that Jax came over and did all this. Like,
I'm a writer. We make up stuff for a living. I would never script a sex scene in which a woman is taking care of a 95-year-old dying woman and then fucks a guy next in the next room over.
If Faith, okay, I'm like, I'm team Faith in this whole
I'm always
journey
team Faith. There's never team Jax. There's
no,
never.
There's never. But like, if Faith fucked Jax, if it's true that she fucked him while there was, she was caretaking this 95-year-old woman in the next room and they had crazy animal sex and he just like came inside her, that's iconic.
I want the if woman, she, I want the 95-year-old woman to speak out.
Me too. We should I would her, love, she I should need be a guest her to on go and watch What Happens Live.
She should be a guest on the
She should call in.
She probably lives in the neighborhood.
Please, I want her to call. She probably just, does live in LA.
Yeah.
Oh, she definitely she lives in LA. Yeah. Okay, stay tuned.
I wonder if she watches, I mean, imagine if she actually is like a random Vanderpump Rules fan and is just like, anyways, I'm going to tune in for the premiere. It was like,
She's like, I can't wait to see what little Faith has been up to. My, know, my sweetheart. Little, she my always makes sure Faith. I'm okay. And then she realizes like Faith's been just like getting like it, fucking getting dick down while she's like trying.
While she's like in her morphine coma.
Yeah, while she's like snoozing, like pissing herself. Faith like cleans up her diaper and then has like a dick appointment in the next room. Oh, so if Faith really did fuck Jax with the in the 95-year-old
woman.
Which
you know she did.
That's iconic. But if she... If Faith is completely making this entire situation up from top to bottom, like
she should be a writer.
If from top to bottom this is a lie, she's also iconic because that is truly the lie of the century.
Of course, that's like no one would lie about that.
It's a needless lie.
It's a totally insane.
So what I think is
it also makes her look really bad. That's
know,
why it's a weird lie.
It's a weird lie, but like I'm obsessed with it either way. Sure. Like I'm here to figure out what it is. I think that it really happened. I think that Faith like probably put a long time, like a lot of time into seducing Jax and trying to get him to sleep with her so
really?
Then she could come on the show and be like, we fucked.
I mean, so many women have done this. It's like, it's a tale as old as time.
It's a surefire way to get camera time.
Yeah, of course.
But like, if
and
so,
he falls
that's
for
like,
it.
Yeah, if so, like, that's the game we're playing. Like, he should
oh,
not,
yeah.
like, he should not be going over to another, to hang out with another woman and have sex with them while he's in a relationship with Brittany.
No, absolutely
if
not.
If the rules of their relationship
please,
are they don't sleep
Faith,
with other people.
Get yours. Go ahead. I don't care.
I am all for Faith's Jax troll.
Course.
No, and but it's crazy because people are online being insane about
what
Faith.
Are they saying?
They're just like, she's a fucking whore and like blah blah
what?
Blah. And she should keep her legs closed to men that are in a relationship and you don't fuck people with significant others and like
oh
all this shit.
My god.
And it's just crazy because it's like
misogyny, blah blah blah.
But I that's fucking... like what the entire kind of cast does in this situation too. Like Jax was tweeting, he was like, well, she's wanted for Grand Theft Auto and going AWOL from the military.
Wait, she is.
Faith is iconic, actually.
I'm obsessed. Wait, she is wanted for Grand Theft Auto. Then they should actually be a great couple.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I know. They're like a match made in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, so he's saying all this like disparaging things about Faith and it's just like, we still haven't answered the question. Like,
sketchy characters.
He basically, he kind of says like, I didn't do it, but he's not coming forward and trying to be like, right this egregious wrong, you know? So right. It's like, they definitely had sex.
Yeah, they definitely did.
They had to, right?
Yes, of course. There's not like, babe, again, you don't make up this elders, like there's no, I don't even have a part of my brain that could access such a wild imagination like that. I mean, honestly, she should, if she made this up, she should put pen to paper and start making up some short stories because she's creative.
Yeah. She should, like, become a writer.
Yeah. My little Eve Babbitts.
I live for Faith's journey.
Yeah, she's great. I love it. I
hope to see more of her this season as we get to the bottom of this predicament.
Again, I want to meet the woman who heard all of this. Maybe she can testify.
Yeah.
On sup.
The best, too, is like Brittany is like flipping out. And then Tom Schwartz like shows up. He shows up like not being in the loop on like anything that's going on. He seems like kind of drunk by the time he shows up, which tracks because he was like hanging with Stassi and Katie.
Of course, they have to, like,
he comes in, he's like, he's like, what's happening? What? And then Brittany's like, well, everyone's saying that Jack slept with Faith. And then Tom Schwartz goes, even if it was true, I would cover for him, but I'm not.
And it's not because it's not like, true.
Well, you
I
just
mean, if
said,
it was true, I would cover it for him, but it's definitely not true.
Yeah, which is like, it's like you wait, realize what? That you just, nothing you said can even be taken seriously because you basically said you would lie either way.
Yeah, it was really,
it was not, a real,
it was a typical Schwartz
move. It
was
move. A real brainiac moment from Tom Schwartz.
If he did it, I would cover for him, but I'm telling you, he didn't do it.
Also, I was really loving like all the intense gaze around Brittany being like telling her, like spilling the tea about Faith and Jax. And,
oh,
like,
they all know.
They all came around Brittany.
I would love to see those group texts, those group threads.
So amazing. And then like there is this one gay guy in a mask and he like looks right at the camera and then he's like, go get Faith. Go get Faith. Go get Faith. And I was just like, yes, can we please get more gay people involved in the show?
I love how
and,
they
like,
all
amp up the drama to 11.
They planned this. Those fucking queens in Faith plan this. They're like, you're going to do an ambush at the when they're shooting the premiere at Sheena's birthday, and you're going to steal the spotlight.
I love it.
I wonder if Sheena felt pissed that like the spotlight was taken off of her.
Of course she does.
Yeah. I love that, though. It must be so easy to like...
Sheena put on her ball gown
your way and
went to go...
like a reality show. Like Black China. It reminds me of like a Black China vibes.
Well, it's like... it's like what James did, and now he's on the show.
Yeah,
like
it's
James
not
literally
that
was
hard.
Like, I'm going to fuck Kristen and get on this show.
These people are lonely. They're insecure. They're down to fuck. I mean, it's not that hard.
If you went into... like, the thing is, with Jax, I think, is that he's so accessible. Like, if you managed to get his phone number from an interaction, you could get him to fuck you.
Oh, absolutely. He's also, like, a sex addict, probably.
Well, yeah, but all you have to do is just, like, it's just, like, a long tease out, and it's, like, there's no, it's like you don't really even have to jump through any hoops.
They're very, very like, accessible.
If Jax will come over and fuck you while a 95-year-old woman is dying in the next room, like he will just come to any.
Can you imagine
apartment.
That being like your last night on earth, having to hear Jax pummel some girl and like literally being like, okay, I'm actually, she just takes her off. She's on this monitor. She takes off life support. She takes herself off life. She's like, it's time for me to go.
Yeah.
It's a wrap. Like, I'm not, this is not
Can
happening.
You imagine dying and, like, as you're trying to, like, peacefully transition into the spiritual realm, you, like, you float.
It gets interrupted by, like,
all
of a sudden.
Over Faith getting railed by Jax.
Like, you keep going into the light, and it's, like, she gets pushed out of it every time because she hears, like, a weird sex noise from Jax, and she's like, God damn it. And she goes towards the light again, and she gets interrupted again. It's just like, no.
Let
me die.
The mindset of being, like, yes, this woman is here, but we're just going to do it anyways, is truly out of control.
Really weird.
It's like, really weird.
Like, just wait till she gets off work. Like
she could be like, hey, I'm off work at like 5 a.m. Or like, how about tomorrow night when I'm not caretaking?
I also just love that as a side job. I'm a server at Sup, but when I'm not.
Like, what do you do? I work at Sir. I am on this like reality show called Vanderpump Rules sometimes. And then I also care for the elderly.
Yeah, it's a real twist.
I don't think Faith is going to get any more elderly care
no,
jobs, though,
something
after
tells
this.
Me that she needs to find a new career.
I just have so many questions. Like, I want to know, like, does she live with that lady?
I don't know.
Maybe that's why.
I don't know. You got to have Faith. Ooh, you got to have
Faith.
Oh, my God.
I'm really, like, I'm so curious to see how everything plays out with Jax this season because I just don't think like he ever gets held accountable for anything.
This season, I think he will. I think he gets raked over the coals in a real way.
I
would
don't
predict.
Know though, babe. Like his fans on Twitter and social media are
anyone
crazed.
Who is a genuine fan of Jax or any of the cast members of Vanderpump Rules. Truly, I have so many questions for them. Like people who are literally like. Team Stassi or Team Sheena, like people who are actually like, there's a team to be on this show. Like, there's a team.
Like, I'm confused. There's just team me watching this show. That's the only team I'm on.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just very odd that, like, there are people at home that are identifying and, like, allying themselves with certain people in this show. It's just bizarre to me that there's anyone that you would want to ally yourself with.
Well, it's just the level of fandom that's just like you see tweets from people that are like, I love Jax and I know he didn't do it. Jax is a nice guy. Maybe he messes up sometimes, but we all forgive him. We love Jax. Like people on social media.
That is so
it's
weird.
It's really crazy.
I'm like, honey.
Babe. Like, I'm just like, hun?
Oh my God, I want to like start a GoFundMe for all of them to get therapy.
I know. I'm like, are you okay?
No, they're not.
The answer is no.
No, they're not. If you're literally seeing Jax on TV and you're like, my God, a dream boy, date me, then you got some problems.
You have some demons.
Yeah, you have some diamonds.
Diamonds to get out.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that covers it.
Oh, is that it? 10 hours later,
I know.
The sun is setting. It's like
the sun's coming up. The birds are chirping.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's like... yeah, it was a jam-packed episode. It delivers though, man. It fucking delivers.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what?
They're working this season.
I thought I was over it. I thought I was out. They pulled me back in.
No. You think it's safe. Just when you think you're mentally well enough to like escape the clutches.
I know.
They pull a real...
It just makes me laugh so hard. It's such a funny fucking show.
It's so hysterical.
Funny. It's so funny. And they are so funny. And they're so... Their lives are just so specifically dark. Just so weirdly dark. And they're such dark people. And I love it. And it's funny. It's like a dark comedy.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like a dark,
it's a tragic comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it. Well...
Well...
Until next week.
We're not the only ones. Yeah.
Thanks for coming. I hope you come back to this show, but I won't fault you if you don't because we have our own podcast.
Are you talking to your listeners or me?
I'm talking to you. I'm addressing you, Ryan O'Connell.
Oh, yeah. I'll come back. I just need some time.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you a lot of time off. Love you.
All right. Smooch.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by the following premium sponsors, Meredith Good and William Jones. Thanks to you guys, it's all happening. I know I'm feeling, cause I know I know I'm feeling, cause I know I know.